Here's a little story I like to tell about four bad brothers you know so well. They had a little segment back in history with Carmen, Yurko, Wildo, and Sylvie. That's right, motherfuckers, Crosstalk is back. But you can only hear it if you have this app. ESPN 1000 Chicago, look on the Wildo and Sylvie, Carmen and Yurko. Uncut, uncensored, and never discreet. You will like this as much as Carmen likes feet. 30 minutes of talking shit amongst friends. Crosstalk unhinged. Let the show begin.
What the fuck is up? We are back after a week off, but we were not off. We were crosstalking on the air together. There was one day we even did a 1 hour uninterrupted crosstalk. So with us on the air together, no time to do an unhinged with all the Bears news, but it is good to be back in the studio with the guys.
We've had a lot of bonanza this last
year.
A lot of Bears bonanza.
I was hoping for some Blackhawks bonanza after that fiasco yesterday.
I was pitching it, yes. I texted Danny and I said, can we do Blackhawks bonanza? Yeah. Can the guys come in and go extended? And
what did he say?
He said he was all for it. Yeah.
But well, at some point, we might be able to do a Bulls bonanza, though, if the Bulls keep playing.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Those were some fun days. You guys did it, too. Oh, I know, yeah. Waddle, you always remember it. Abdallah's in the other studio. Being at the United Center before big Bulls games.
Oh, yeah. At the brew pub?
Yeah. And then Gar would stop by. Those were in the days when we still thought highly of the front office.
And we got along with him, yeah.
Yeah. Nick would stop by. Like, one time, Van Gundy would stop by.
Wilbon would come by.
Wennington.
Wennington.
Everyone would come by.
And John Stewart came by before a Bulls game, too.
Yes, he did. John Stewart was doing
something for the Wounded Warriors.
Yes.
They had a halftime basketball game, the Wounded Warriors.
Wow.
And he runs that charity, or he's a huge advocate for them. So he came by. It was glorious in the brew pub.
Johnny and I would watch the first half and then go to the Carvery.
Oh, Carvery, and then watch the Blackhawks play.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, yeah. There was a big Bulls Celtics. I always tell this story. Big Bulls Celtics game in the year that Rose was the MVP. I couldn't get enough of this team. I think the four of us went. I don't know if you went, but Waddle, Yurko, me, you may have been there. And it was touch and go. It was a game that was really, like, not decided. Celtics maybe went a lead. And they cut off beer sales in the fourth. So that's a huge mistake.
That's a business mistake right there for them. I don't understand it.
Like, are we past beer sales?
Yeah. Well, I think they have to legally, don't they?
Why?
Or do they not have to?
I don't understand it.
Well, you mean I can't get myself all juiced up in an hour and a half? Of course I can.
Drink responsibly. If you're driving, don't drink. I don't understand
why
you're...
Either don't serve us at all or let us go as long as we want.
The weird thing is you can go into the concourse at one of the pubs
Right.
Yeah.
That's the point.
It is weird.
It encourages binge drinking, I believe, because if you cut off beer sales at the end of the third quarter, you're probably grabbing two beers then at that time.
Double fisted.
Or you're pounding a couple. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you got to get it in. Or in this case, the brew pub stays open. But the rule is, it's a silly rule, is you can get your drinks, including the hard liquor drinks there, too, because it's a full bar.
Yeah.
But you have to drink it in the bar. They won't let you back into the concourse. So it was this big Bulls game, and Waddle and Yurko just said, fuck this. We're going to stay here and drink. I'm like, you guys are going to miss the best part of the game.
How did I miss it? The television was right above my head. I watched the whole game.
Had a corned beef sandwich. Great.
Yeah, I remember
fantastic.
I had a turkey sandwich. It was fantastic.
Oh, we were great. There's got to be like a different...
There was only
honestly,
two of us
there's
there.
Probably like a different liquor license for, even though it's in the same venue, for each. I'm betting you that's why they do that.
My guess is the Wirtz family owns both of them. Both liquor licenses.
Right. I mean, listen, when I used to go in the Kettle One Club, which became the Crown Royal Club, you'd go up there upstairs. You can do whatever you want there. If I wanted to go there with my drink, I could. It wasn't an issue.
That's what I mean. In the suites, you could stay an hour afterwards and drink. Like, I don't understand if I want one sports rule done with, it's nothing on
that's
the field
the
these days. It's the shutting beer sales down. And I'm going to be responsible. When I'm at the game I'm taking a car service.
But those laws aren't on the books for you. I'm guessing it's a municipal law. That'd be my guess. I don't know that for sure. But it seems that you need to stop.
Game? Why can you be at the neighborhood bar drinking till 2 or 1? But then in a game, like all of a sudden we're putting these.
I think it's got something to do with 20,000 people being in one place, and they're worried about what could potentially. We see what happens because of cell phone cameras now. People think that stuff hasn't always gone on. It's always going on. Now we got cameras.
Well, you could.
I think that's why those laws are probably on the books. That would be my guess.
We could have Rocky on and ask him. He probably would kick you in the nuts, but.
Unincorporated Cook County, you can drink till 4 a.m.
Unincorporated
Cook County. I can drink until 8 a.m. in Lake County in my basement if I want.
Sure. Like after a Bears game, they're shutting down beer sales. Well, I don't know when, but.
Third quarter.
You go to your car in the tailgate lot and everyone's sitting there drinking.
Listen, don't they know?
This is my point. Yeah. I understand why they're in place, but in today's day and age, it's silly.
I would suggest to you that the fourth quarter is the appropriate time to drink as much as you can if you're a Bears fan. Because most of the time, your team is sticking it in your ass, and what you need is another cocktail.
Yeah. Most of the time, they're horse shit, and they're getting killed in the fourth quarter.
And I know you guys want to talk about Wirtz and the Hawks, but like some of those good Hawks games in all those playoff years, when they would go to double and triple overtime, huge nail-biting games against the Kings, you could get a fucking beer.
No.
Like, that's when you want, at that extra intermission, you want to, like, you're nervous.
You want that beer.
You need that rally beer.
That Crown and Coke.
And you're coming off a buzz.
There was actually a study done at Penn, I'm reading, about the impact of crime around the ballpark when they cut off alcohol. And the longer the game goes when they've cut off alcohol, the less crime there is after around the stadium. So, like, if it goes to extra innings or if it goes to overtime or whatever, the more time in between the time they cut off alcohol and when people leave the game, the crime is significantly lower.
Okay, like, if you put it that way, I can sign on to
that.
Yeah,
but like, meantime, in Wrigley Field, you're walking out and there are 50 bars.
That's the other thing. There's another study that says all these bars around stadiums have basically negated that because you used to be able to, so these big stadiums like Soldier Field where you leave and there's nothing around except the beers you have left in your car or whatever. Right. But like Wrigley, when you're walking out and there's literally a bar across the street, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Is there a correlating study that would tell you whether the team won or lost? Whether there was more crime or less crime.
That's good.
That's a good look
into,
like...
You need to suggest
like,
that to Eastern.
You know, like, that'd be a good for, like, the third edition of Freakonomics, you know? Like, to like, do some sort of social study on the breakdown of how people react to wins and losses. I'd like that. Somebody should do the social research.
I mean, if you're doing it with alcohol sales and win or win,
that's good.
How about if your team wins or loses?
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
And then remember the antiquated rule we used to have on college campuses?
Yeah.
That was another one that had to go, and I'm glad it did finally for most campuses, is you couldn't drink, you couldn't buy a beer inside the college football stadium.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but for a long time, no matter the event going on, like if it was a concert, you still couldn't buy alcohol on the college campus.
I went to two BC games, and like, I think it's the smartest thing that they can actually do. And I know, like, you're not trying to promote underage drinking or anything because everyone's got an ID. But from a revenue producing standpoint, to have beer sales at a college football game,
can you buy beer at an SEC game? I mean, can you do that?
I would assume so. Adam? Yeah,
yeah. And most stadiums, they serve beer now.
They do. Okay. Yeah.
They don't serve a lot of hard liquor. Okay. Most of it's mostly beer and wine. And some stadiums have designated areas where you have to drink it.
All right.
So I don't know how the fuck that came up.
Well, because you guys were talking about Celtics. If the Bulls can be in like a huge playoff game, come the spring.
Yeah, I'm going Sunday, by the way. To Bulls,
how you love to drink. Yeah.
I told Sylvie the other day, we were in a text with our buddy Jeff Brusso. I was like, can you guys know that the Bulls are 0-9 against Joel Embiid in his career?
I didn't know that.
Oh, they've never beaten Joel Embiid.
I've been to one of those games.
He's 9-0.
Were you in the bar or were you in the concourse?
No, he was in the bar, please.
No, I was in with you guys.
Embiid didn't play that night. So
Saric did. He had a big game.
Yes, he did. So that game wouldn't be one that counts because Embiid he did not play. It was like the second of a back-to-back.
0-10.
So 9-0, and he's averaging like 26-13 in his career against the Bulls. They don't have it. The point was, like, we were talking about.
Guy.
They don't have an answer for Joel Embiid. Not that
who
people
does?
Do.
That's the question.
And it's very true. I mean, you know, nobody really has an answer for Embiid when
he's
healthy.
Awesome so far this year.
The last 3 weeks, he's been.
They lost to the Wizards last night, though, didn't they?
Did they?
I thought they did. Yeah.
Good.
He's gone in like 3 weeks. He's gone from 30-1 to 2-1.
Yeah,
like in 20
days. Where's Morant's odds these days? Because I bought him when you know I was thinking about it even before you mentioned it.
That team plays with a tremendous amount of swagger too. Yes.
They got a chip on their shoulder. Yeah,
they're fun to watch.
They don't care who you are. They're going to stand up to you.
Yeah, they went into the Madison Square Garden last night. Yeah. I think, and were strutting around the place, and they backed it up.
One guy with Julius Randle, right?
Yes. He's 16 to 1. So they've been cutting about a half since we got in on it. Yeah. 16-1 for Jai. He's still fifth choice though. Although, I mean, Embiid's plus 225. He was 30-1 like on January 1st.
Yeah, he doesn't have like a ton on that team, and with Simmons,
he's amazing. He is amazing.
But by the way, your guy's interview with Les Snead was brilliant.
That was fantastic.
It was fun. That was fun.
I didn't know the Cooper Kupp story about Peyton Manning. I mean,
it was great. And most GMs, as I'm driving into and I'm listening, most GMs won't open up. I mean, they will because they know the good kid, but like Les will know, do it because of that. But most GMs would never take you inside where he took you and gave you the insight.
We were there. We were inside of Les Snead.
Oh, yes, we were.
And it was pleasant.
What a spot to be.
He also gave you his, why they're, so to speak, all in.
I thought it was a great answer.
It was fun too.
You're right about the being all in.
He's like, we went all first round picks early, and now we realize we're in this window, and it's like we got to do whatever we have.
If you're guaranteed to be 26, picking 26th or later, I understand why
they're going to go 7 years without a first-round pick.
You know what I mean? We talk about analytics, how analytics are used in certain ways. I mean, what would the analytics about how they handle their late first-round draft picks actually say to you? I don't know. I'm asking the question.
Interesting,
but,
yeah.
You know, like, they twice to the Super Bowl in 4 years?
Twice in,
feels like it's working out for them.
Yeah, meantime, Ryan Pace is giving away all his picks for, like, an 8-9 season. Yeah,
right, exactly.
7-10. At least the Rams know they're on the doorstep.
Right. Like, they're close. You're right. I mean, it's such a stark contrast and difference. And Pace ultimately didn't care enough or know what to do with those picks. And it's one of the things that sunk him. But yeah, I thought he was really good. I'm glad.
When I heard you guys tease it, I heard Les Snead. I was trying to think what the connection is.
Yeah.
Like, why the fuck is Les Snead coming on? I didn't know there was
But he's general manager of the LA Rams.
Well, no. But how did you get him?
And they're in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Oh, well,
I knew why.
All I do is snap my fingers and NFL people come dancing on
it. It really is something, whether it's Sean Payton, Andy Reid.
Yeah, it is crazy.
All
the
guys that you've had, they all succumbed to the Yurko Kavorka.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they were really overcome.
You can really never detach yourself from Yurko. It's
Johnny
amazing.
Not only
nice stink is on you. Like,
it's two things. Johnny will produce for you, okay? So I'm not overlooking that. Johnny will make you fucking laugh.
That's true.
And when you are producing and providing entertainment, you're fucking gold,
you're like
man.
A golden boy.
You're gold.
It's true.
A lot of time spent, like Les said, he's in the locker room taking weights.
Yeah.
They're low man on the totem pole. What do you do? You got naked Dave Wydell and naked.
I went to college with Dave Wydell.
It's not pleasant.
Doug is a more pleasant view than Dave.
When I looked at Dave Wydell, I mean, literally, it was an acorn in a hayfield. I mean, it was like. What's going on there?
You're completely naked while Les Snead is weighing you.
Usually, out of the shower, you got to make weight.
You got to make weight. Every piece of clothing.
The towel comes off.
Step on a Toledo. Yeah.
You want to spend $500 for being a half a pound over?
Yeah. 100 for us at the time. Yeah. It was 100. Thank heavens. Then it increased to 112.50 the next year.
The towel's got to weigh 6 ounces.
Not when wet. Not when absorbed with a little bit of water.
That's true.
Comes off. I'm not getting in like a lunge or anything there. I'm just standing there. I've got my pebbles covered at the time. I'm like this.
Put your hand over the pebbles.
Are you really up there?
I'm not laying my hog up on the scale.
That's what Nick Foles does.
The numbers.
Foles walks in and he stretches out. He's like,
I'll tell you how the Toledo worked. The Toledo was in the corner of the bathroom. The Toledo's the scale.
Yeah.
And it was electronic, so they had a wire running up, and the weight was up top.
Right.
So there's no need to look down
take
or anything
a big
like
shit
that.
Before you stepped on it to clear out a few pounds?
Everything. Yeah. The night before you're taking, stuff to empty your system.
Yeah.
Everything. Diuretics.
Are you not drinking a lot of water because of that? Because of the water weight?
Right. You're just getting it all off. And if you, like, I'd go in early and I'd weigh in. And if I wasn't there, I'd put all the clothes on. I'd hit the bike and
really?
Get myself 30, 40 minutes on the bike.
Oof.
Come out, let that all kind of sweat out.
Yeah.
Go in, take a shower, go back to the scale, make sure I was okay. Then when I was all right, I'd say, where's Les?
Yeah. Come on, come
Les
on.
Here, Les. So I go get some breakfast. I'm dying over here.
I want to go eat.
I'm dying over here.
Shave your balls. Make sure you get every last bit of last ounce off of there.
We had a guy in Miami. His name was Pat. Pat was his name. He's a young kid. That was his job. He ran around doing all the crap. Oof. And it was me, Jim Jensen, and Marino.
Oh, Jim Jensen, early. The ultimate Swiss Army knife.
Remember him?
Oh, I loved him.
Number 11 with the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. So it's Jim, and we're all three in. We're in a hot tub trying to soak it off. Sometimes we weren't in the hot tub. Sometimes we had a little more weight. So around where we stayed, St. Thomas University, we'd have to get out. He goes, no, we're going to run today. Well, we're going to run. I'm the big guy. Marino goes, we're going to run. So in that early morning Miami heat, we get out and we'd run the 1.5-mile circuit. It only take us about 10, 12 minutes.
Okay.
Get in, but you're working and you're sweating and you're getting in there. Boom, we get on a scale. We all make it. We go get breakfast.
Really?
Yeah.
And then you get puke on Marino's rug.
It never made me buy anything. Marino picked it up. Jensen picked it up.
I mean, he's damn Marino.
If I went out to DT Riots, Clayton was picking it up. Duper was picking it up. The running back Sammy Smith was picking it up. Never had to pick up a bill as a rookie.
Undrafted.
Not one.
Undrafted.
Except
hanging out with Marino.
When they made me go get ribs.
Ribs.
I had to go get ribs in one of the worst neighborhoods of Miami. And this place was just a house, right? And they told me, take a cooler, Yerk. It was a house. And
how many hundreds in cash?
I had a lot of money. And it was 12 slabs of ribs, Yerk.
Oh, my God.
Right? And they'll put some buns and stuff in there with you. So, okay, tell them that you're picking it up for the Dolphins. Boom, I'm picking it up for the Dolphins. It had iron bars over the windows. Iron bars. Front door, windows, iron bars.
Did you need a code to get in?
I'm in a Yugo. I'm in my little Yugo, right? This is what I'm driving because it only costs like $200 a month. I'm in a Yugo. And I'm like, yes, I'm here to pick them. Boom, I thank you. Gave me the money. They told me how much tipped them. Boom, thank you very much. Boom, 6 miles back. That was my job. That's what I had to do.
That's the only time you paid.
Cold beer. That's the only time I paid was that day. This is how much you give them. And treat was on me. Cold beer during training camp, I had to provide the beer.
Mm.
And I had to make sure it was cold. So I bought a big cooler, had all what everybody drank, Coors Light, Bud Light, Miller Light, the whole thing. Everybody had it. It was there. And then I ended up buying some chairs so they could sit behind my conversion van. This is during training camp. I had a conversion van down there. And I put the chairs out so we could sit and we can drink right in front of where
we're
staying.
It's why they love him.
You traded the conversion van for a Yugo?
That was my parents' conversion van.
Oh, okay.
Now, so did you really drive a Yugo?
I did. It was a Yugo back.
How long did those
They called
last?
Me like back. I got
5 cut. Years? I got 7 cut. Years?
I don't know how long they last. I got cut. They called me back for the practice squad. So I was cut from end of August through September. They called me back in the first week of October.
And so you drove a Yugo down.
And it's a small, that's a small little hatchback.
Yeah, I can't imagine Yurko even getting in.
They picked me up. The first thing I had to do was go find a car.
What did you,
I stayed
so
with
went
Scott
the smallest fucking car they had.
Do you remember Scott Schwades?
Schwades,
right. Number 83, Syracuse, played for the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. So Schwades, I was roommates with Schwades and Barry Pettijohn. And all I did was rent a bed. $400, I'd rent a bed. That's what I had in their apartment, $400 for the month.
Wow.
But the last 2 months, a buddy of mine got cut, and boom, I was in Miami Lakes in an apartment where I had a little 6-inch screen television. I had a comforter, a pillow, a pot to boil water and a pan to fry some eggs with.
Big
That's
time living.
It.
That's amazing.
That was it. That's how I lived.
I rented a place at the Arlington.
$600.
The Arlington Club in Arlington Heights. It was fully furnished. Dirty forks, dirty sheets.
Jesus.
Dirty forks?
Oh, the whole place. Yeah,
why don't you buy some forks?
Because you didn't know how long you were going
to
be around.
You didn't have a pot
what
to
about,
piss
what about
in.
Some
That's
of the
why.
Plastic forks then? Don't you go out and you buy some of the
plastic
forks?
No, what you do
forks?
Is you take all it. When we got there, we took all of the utensils and put them in the fucking dishwasher.
They were all dirty.
But when we first came in, everything was like nasty.
That is.
What did Ditka make you do? Anything?
Coach.
No. And the players
tell
make
the,
you do?
No. Tell, I'm sure we've talked about this before. Tell the story about the donuts.
The donuts? This was, I think Kaz did this. On Saturdays, we were responsible for donuts, okay? So rookies were. So, I mean, like, it was at that point, I think I was beyond a rookie, but donuts are there right as you walk out to go to practice for Saturday walkthrough. And there's always different kinds of donuts. Well, Kaz would take the plain donuts and dip them in paraffin wax.
Oh, my God.
Like, they'd take two so they look like glazed donuts.
Oh, no.
That's a great prank.
So Kaz goes in and takes a regular donut, dips it in paraffin wax, and puts it back, thinking one of the players is going to walk by and fucking grab it.
Gotcha.
Everyone's standing around corners to wait to see which idiot grabs it and bites into it. Here comes Ditka, like one of the last to come through, go up for the walkout. He grabs it, and takes a bite of it, and spits it, throws it in, motherfuckers, and walks away. And Kaz, we're all laughing. Kaz is like, oh, fuck.
I'm getting caught.
Ditka was going to do that.
That's fucking great.
But it was great. Morrissey was the best, too, because Morrissey would pull pranks on everyone. He and Trace Armstrong had something going that was crazy. Like, I want to say Morrissey took Trace's jeans in the middle of the December practice, dipped him in the hot tub, and then put him in the freezer.
Miserable.
So then, after practice, he goes and gets his pants, hangs them up in Trace's locker. They're frozen. His jeans are absolutely frozen.
Can you imagine?
And
I love it.
And Morrissey used to also, we remember the phone.
This is just jackass.
Yeah, it is jackass.
It's like it's with your Chicago Bears.
Yeah. And then I think Trace at one point took all of Morrissey's stuff and threw it over the fence where we practiced up in Lake Forest.
Into someone's
backyard? Wallet, yes, his wallet, his wedding ring off it. He took all of Morrissey's shit and threw it over a fence.
That might be going a little too far.
Can you tell the story of what Morrissey used to do when he would walk into the shower?
Oh, yeah. These are community showers. You would think we did the Chicago Bears.
You have your own stall, right? No, they don't have that.
We had showers.
Just a big block.
No, I know. Like where there were six shower heads coming off the same
thing. Same pole.
Yeah, so you'd be standing there. Same pole. So Morrissey would walk every time after practice. Morrissey would walk in. Everyone's in there showering.
It's like prison. I mean,
he'd drop his towel and he'd scream, "Stop looking at my dick! Why are you looking at my dick?" It was like clockwork.
So great.
It was just like every day. If you'd see Morrissey,
Chicago Bears, and now he's like a financial wizard.
I know he is.
Financial man, managing millions and billions of dollars.
Stop looking at my dick.
He'd walk into the shower, drop his towel, and just screaming, "Hey! Stop looking at my dick."
I mean, you guys are literally showering like you're in fucking prison. Every fucking thing, you know, don't drop the soap.
He used to take, you remember like the cell or the phones, the on-the-wall phones that, you know, we had three phones as you walked out onto the practice field.
Sure.
He used to take the phone off the hook, spray the ear thing with shaving cream, and then sit it on there, and then scream, "Hey!"
Yeah, phone.
He'd go, "Cap, Boso, phone call for you." Yeah. So Cap would come over there. Mike Singletary's walking by one day and sees the phone off the hook, and he walks in, and it's got the shaving cream in it, and it's Morrissey's trying to fuck with somebody. And Mike picks it up and puts it to his ear, like, "Say, who is this?" And he looks at it. He's trying to pull shaving cream out of his ear.
It's Jesus.
The good Lord is calling.
I want you to coach the Bears.
Yeah, here you go.
I mean, some of this shit was just crazy.
I love hijinks.
Dude,
I do.
We had a shipwreck. There was the doors to go out to practice, and next to it was a 7-foot-tall shipwreck. You could take Slim Jims, Funyuns, fucking Cheez-Its.
Just think about how different it is now.
Take them onto the field with you.
Think about it now.
The guys would be walking up to practice to stretch and pulling Slim Jims out of their
fucking
pants.
Well, yeah, then they used to take a bus up to a dome that used to leak when it was raining outside.
It is crazy.
It's great. Yeah, we had the only tarped indoor facility in the NFL.
This is the Bears.
Tarped indoor
facility. Yeah, I remember.
You wonder.
Back in the heyday.
Yeah, you don't have to wonder when you hear stories like that.
Right, exactly.
But hey! Quit looking at my dick!
Quit looking at my dick.
You'll be thinking about that when you get in the shower today.
I might. Yeah.
Is it too late to get into all this Blackhawk stuff here? I mean, we're going to talk about it on our shows.
No, I mean,
really, get it out.
Is it what? You making fun of a stutter?
No, just the way that you started. You didn't know which question, which word to start with.
I didn't know if we had time.
I mean, I know we get a couple minutes. I mean, I know you guys will talk about it at length. I think everybody's reaction.
We shouldn't have been there, is what I think. You put your three people that are in charge. You get them in there. The apple don't fall far from the tree.
Which is weird, isn't it?
He's really
dollar
turned
bill.
Into his
turned
dad.
Back into dollar bill. But because why? He built that thing up, and now everybody looks at it as being a, you look at Rocky now, it's like, boy, you're in charge of crap right now, champ.
But I heard what you said earlier, Johnny.
Come full circle.
I thought, like, look, if you're willing to sit there and address the questions, then you should be there. If for whatever reason you don't think that you can conduct yourself,
get out. With,
well, don't have a fucking town hall. Like, okay, yeah. That's first, okay? So then you plan a town hall. You're like, all right, we
what did you
saw,
think they were going to
we
say?
We yeah. just went through this big controversy that we just settled with. All these guys lost their jobs. Stan Bowman, we had to fire over it. You know, McDonough's been gone for a while. Joel Quenneville lost his job in Florida because of this. I'm telling everybody that I'm going to be super open about this and transparent. And then you'd say, okay, let's do a town hall.
Crazy.
It's the first time they've talked since all of this. What the fuck do you think you're going to be asked?
They had to know.
You suck, and you went through one of the worst controversies a team in this town has gone through.
Danny was prepared. Danny Wirtz was prepared to answer the question. He was willing to engage, and twice Rocky cut him off at the pass. And it did remind, it's impossible to not be reminded of the way the old man conducted himself. And well, to me, it's a big 180, and that's why I'm shocked at, because I just didn't expect. It seems out of character
for you too, Carm, because as I heard you talking today, terrible. I mean, hockey's your favorite sport.
It's terrible.
And to see how they repaired, not only repaired their reputation, but took it to a height that you probably never thought they
Cam
could take it.
Stuff, like,
yes.
Never.
And then
I never
to
thought.
Watch it, you know, kind of go back in the other directions.
They're horrible. A few years away from, I mean,
it's a 30 for 30.
Yeah,
you know, the rise and fall of the Chicago Blackhawks.
But they could control this by handling it. Like, Rocky could have handled it in such a way that was showing you that they have.
That's my point about not showing up. Like, okay, first of all, think about the basis of this. We're doing a town hall. Because we want to show people we care and we've turned over a new leaf.
You know when you do a town hall when you suck.
Right, so you know what you're getting into to begin with, okay? Right. And then what Yurko says, if you don't want any part of it and you want your new representation of what the team is, send them out then. So first, don't do a town hall if you're going to act that way. Two, if you are going to act that way and it's already scheduled, send your new group out. And then you're there and you're going to show everyone this is you?
It's crazy.
If this is what you're willing to display in public with cameras and reporters there, how do you think he handles stuff behind the scenes?
Good point.
How do you think things were handled during the controversy?
Yep.
While it was brewing, like when in 2010, when this is being brought up and they're supposedly didn't know. If this is how you're going to act when you know you're on camera and you know you're in the public eye and you know it's a town fucking hall, how do you think they act behind the scenes?
It's a good point. It was a shocking public display.
I mean, it really was. I thought Danny was going to handle
absolutely,
the question.
Absolutely, twice.
And, yeah.
He was ready for it.
Two times.
And not only this, it takes away the authority now from him.
Sure.
Because anything he says now, people will say, your fucking dad's going to change it.
Yeah.
You know, you could have all these great plans, but what happened? His dad cut him off. Don't talk. This is me. Fuck you. It was exactly out of Succession.
It's bad.
It was fuck off. It was Logan Roy telling the world to fuck off.
Yeah. I haven't even seen that show, but I know enough about it to think like that's a perfect analogy. You're right.
Like, Rocky had and, repaired that image of that
and it's
team.
It's gone. It's amazing. Poof, like a fart in the wind.
And not only, I mean, like, listen, I was even watching some of the stuff at intermission with Gretzky and others.
Yeah,
they
took it to him. This is their new TV partner.
Yes. I mean,
they took it to him, and rightfully so. It was an ugly display. And secondarily, the product on the ice is fucking
that's what I mean.
Awful. Sucks. I mean, there's really nobody to be excited about. I guess Raquel a little bit. There's not a dangerous player with the puck other than Alex DeBrincat and Kaner a little bit. You know, Kirby occasionally, you know, a little bit. But, I mean, Kirby's, you know, he's great when they were – he would have been good on this team when they were great.
Yeah,
with some of the
I heard
depth
you
they
talk
had.
About that, yeah.
You know, you're not building a powerhouse around Kirby Dach. He's not Jonathan Toews or Patrick Kane. That's the whole other part of this that really makes it unfortunate, too, for the hockey fans and those of us that are big Blackhawks fans. They're bad, guys. They are flat-out fucking bad. They are a bad hockey team.
They're terrible.
In every sense right
and
now.
And there's no sign they're going to get better anytime
soon.
That's
what I'm saying. They don't even have a prospect to be excited about.
No. They don't have a GM either, right?
Right.
No. Yeah, they don't have a GM.
And in true Bulls fashion, their pick is number 7.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah, it'll probably be number 7. So there you go. That's what you got to look forward to.
That's sad.
So. All right, boys.
All right, guys.
Every week, it's Crosstalk Unhinged, its own tile on the ESPN Chicago app. Tell your friends about it. Send them the link. Tell them to listen. It's everyone's new favorite podcast.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, Tom?